Blog Talk Radio.
You're the one that got it for me.
I see just for you every drive your way.
Thank you. Hello. Adore you, I will Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. My phone just went out, so I had to dial back in. You know, the computers act up a little bit sometimes, and that's one of the things that we always got to be aware of. Well, let us pray. We're going to partake of this Holy Communion today on our Sabbath, and then we're going to go into this message that I believe the Lord wants us to talk about today. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. And we ask you, O God, to continue to bless us and protect us, O God, as we take the initiative, O God, to come at your table by the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Partake of his body and his blood that's been broken. The blood has been shed for us. His body has been broken for us, nailed and pierced and crowned for us. Lord, we ask you to bless this wheat of the field that represents his body and this fruit of the vine that represents the blood that's been shed at the cross. Oh, Father, we ask your forgiveness. We ask your mercy right now. And Lord, we repent of any thought, any word, any deed that we may have committed, known or not known. Allow us to partake this morning the mindset of holiness and a heart of peace this morning. Lord, we ask that you reach out over the United States of America, God, and touch souls right now. Bless us, Lord. Bless us. Bless us, O God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of." Let us take the bread, break it, and eat. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. After the same manner, he took the cup. When he had supped, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Hallelujah, Jesus. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or die. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judge, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together under condemnation. And the rest I will set in order when I come. May the Lord add a blessing to reading of the word and to this holy communion, to the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Let us drink together. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that, the healing balm of Gilead right now, Lord Jesus. Thank you. We bless you. We praise you. We honor you, Jesus, for all that you have done, all that you're doing, all that you will do, Lord. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. We just bless you. We just bless you. We just praise you, O God, for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you're about to do, Lord. We ask you to keep us safe and secure. This tomorrow is the first Sunday of the month, and we will partake of Holy Communion again. Because you said as often as we do this in remembrance of you, Lord. We will partake of it in the building on tomorrow. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Father, we just honor you, Lord. We just honor you because, as the songwriter says, you are worthy to be praised. And all that I have, I give to you. Because all that I have comes from you. You give all that I have. So I give it back to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Today we're talking about pride goes before the fall. Looking at this yesterday, and I believe this is what the Lord wants me to talk about. And I want to go over here to the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. I'm not going to be long before you because I have some things to do today for the church, and get myself together, get everything ready for tomorrow morning if the Lord say the same. But here in this book of 2 Chronicles, the word is already prayed over, the word is already blessed. But we want to go in here and look at this word. And here in Chronicles, the Lord began to speak. Every word in the Bible, God is speaking. This word was given by holy men in past time to pen this word so that we would have it, to meditate on. Look and see what God wants done. Sometimes we get above and we get up so, put ourselves so high up, and we become prideful and arrogant, and it happens that everything fall move from under us and we fall. This Bible says, he says, but when he had become powerful, now this young man had, they would put him into the place of the king, in a place of authority. Uzziah, when he was 16 years old, understand, people get put in positions of power when they're really not ready. They're placed in a position of power and authority, but they're not ready. And the power, the authority goes to their head. So here he says, in the New Living Translation, but when he had become powerful, he also became prideful, or became full of, pride. He was proud, which led to his downfall. And we're talking about pride goes before the fall. He sinned against the Lord, his God, by entering the sanctuary of the Lord's temple and personally burning incense on the incense altar. Now, you see that they are not ordained to be. Hallelujah. They go into that place that they are not called to be. They just think that they have authority, they have power, and they can go any place they want to, but it's not so, not according to God's word. If God did not call you to that place, did not ordain you to that place, you ought not go into that place. You ought not go into that place because it could possibly cost you your life. It could cost you your inheritance. It could cost you the losing of family members' life. Anything can happen. That's what I'm trying to say. Now it says he goes into the place. He's not the priest. He goes into the place and burns all incense on the altar of God. Azariah, the high priest, went in after him with 80 other priests of the Lord, all brave men. You imagine that the sanctuary was filled. So you have 81 priests total, and this man and probably other people were, other congregants was in the house, in the temple, in the synagogue. And they're seeing this man coming, this is He was not Zechariah. He was not. He didn't have the position to light the candles or light the lamps and burn the incense. That was not his call. You understand? That was not his position. So he came in there to rebuke him or charge him. What are you doing in the house of the Lord of God burning incense in here? No. Watch this. Azariah, the high priest, went in after him with 80 other priests of the Lord, all brave men. Then they confronted Uzziah as King Uzziah and said, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. This is the work of the priests alone, the descendants of Aaron, who are set apart for this work." See, God ordained everybody for particular positions. You may be the king, but you're not the priest. Hallelujah. You're not the ambassador of God. So he wants to show off that he is a powerful man. You know, he's a powerful man. He has an authority. So he goes into the temple, and these priests, these men of God, strong men, the New Living Translation called them, strong men, confronted him. Hallelujah. In the Logos Bible, it says that, "But on account of his strength, his heart grew proud unto destruction." Remember what we're saying. Pride go before destruction or the fall. "And he acted unfaithfully against Yahweh, his God, and went into the temple of God, Yahweh, to offer an incense offering on the altar, and Azariah the priest and 80 strong priests of Yahweh with him went in after him, and they stood against King Uzziah and said to him, 'It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to Yahweh or God, but it is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense.'" Anybody can't burn incense before God, or shouldn't. Let me say it that way. Because anybody can light a match or strike a lighter. But that's not your calling. This is a special consecrated job. People take the altar of God just candidly. They take it for granted. The altar of God is a special place. This is where the priest could not go in there any old how. If he go onto the altar of God and go to that place, the Holy of Holies, he could lose his life. But people today, they don't reverence the altar of God. They walk back and forth, jump up, jump down, skip across the altar. The kids get up and walk across the altar. And their parents and grandparents, who is the pastor and first lady, so don't say nothing to them. I said, I was in the church like that. And the kids would run across the altar. Even the pastor or some ministers ministering, and these kids go across the altar, just walk around. They're not stupid. Some of these kids are as much as 6, 7 years old. So they're no right from wrong. And there's no correction. Because even the leaders take the altar for granted, go back into this word. Here, in the New Living Translation, they confronted the king and said, "It is not for you." They let him know. Now he's pushing his chest up because he wants to let them know who he is. They know who he is. "Get out of the sanctuary, for you have sinned. The Lord God will not honor you for this." The priest told him to rebuke him. You know, that's got to be some power and authority there coming through the men of God, the servant of God. Rebuking the king, you know, you can lose your life, but just rebuking the king. Talking and out of course to the king, you could lose your life. But they wasn't afraid, because they knew that Yahweh was backing them. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel was backing them. Today we have a lot of soft-back preachers. A lot of soft-back preachers. They would not stand up for the truth. All of this foolishness that's going on all over the world. Places are bending and breaking. They're bending and breaking to all of these different agendas that are going on. People don't know what a woman is. They don't know what a man is. They don't know what true marriage is all about. The one that God ordained in the Garden of Eden between a man and a woman, they don't know. Preachers failing to stand up for the truth. These preachers here begin to, they rebuke the king and let him know. God would not honor what you think you're making a sacrifice coming in here burning on God's altar. You're not ordained. You're not sanctified. You're not set apart for this position to come and burn incense. You know, when Zechariah was talking to the angel, and the angel Lord told Zechariah that he would have a child, that Elizabeth would get pregnant. Zechariah didn't believe. He was an old man too, just like Joseph. Just like Abraham. But his wife was good. She was in good shape. And because he made fun of it, guess what? God had to shut up his mouth for 9 months. You can imagine just walking around. He used to light the incense and light the candles or the light, the lamps in the church, in the synagogue, in the temple. And for 9 months, she couldn't talk. Listen what he says. You Uzziah, who was holding an incense burner, became furious. But as he was standing there, raging at the priest before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy suddenly broke out on his forehead. See, when he began to come against the men of God, he was actually coming against God because they were speaking for God. They were God's mouthpiece in the temple, in the synagogue, in the church. Pride goes before the fall or before destruction, according to the book of Proverbs. Pride goes. Hallelujah, glory to God. He says, leprosy, that means there's a discoloration. The flesh begin to decay. Because leprosy, the flesh is just like a flesh-eating virus that starts to take over the flesh. People have to cover themselves up and live outside of the city when they had leprosy. Number one thing is because the people didn't know how to deal with it. Hallelujah. So here, leprosy could not be kept or transferred from one person to the next. Because Jesus touched the people. He touched the man that had leprosy. He didn't just heal him. He touched him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Jesus didn't catch no leprosy. He was God in the flesh. Listen. He says, when Uzziah the high priest and all the other priests saw the leprosy, they rushed him out. And the king himself was eager to get out because the Lord has struck him. The Lord don't have no problem knocking you over. God don't have no problem putting you in your place. You all puffed up, think you all that in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola. God don't have no problem putting us in our place. We ought to remain humble so God would exalt us in due season. Oh, no, I got a license now. I got a degree. I got a PhD. I got a doctorate degree. I was talking to a minister of the gospel the night before on the phone in a different state. And they're getting another degree, or a degree in ministry. But they have to write some thesis on polygamy. And The preacher wants to know, what do I feel? How do I feel about polygamy? I just tell the preacher, say, well, polygamy was all the way from Genesis, all the way down to Revelation. People, even right now, you still have polygamy in the earth, in Africa, in India, right here in America, in some places down south. You have the Midianites and all the different knights. They got them. They have their own place. They have their own compound. They don't go to stores and all this stuff. And the person inside it is the head. He got 5, 6, 7 wives. And sometimes they even married to their own kids. They married to their own daughters. I said, but that was not God's idea. Even divorce was not God's idea. But the people became so wicked. You know, I told them, I said, look, you can get a lot more, you know, a lot more from, you know, but you can, well, I won't want to write anything because they don't want me to write too much from the Bible. I said, well, where are you going to get the truth from? You don't have to put down every word verbatim according to how you, but you can get the gist of what God wants you to say from just studying the Bible. It's in the Bible. So here the king said, look. He is mad. He wants to get out too. You understand? The priest rushed him out. So Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in isolation in a separate house, for he was excluded from the temple of the Lord. His son Jotham was put in charge of the royal palace, and he governed the people of the land. Uzziah reigned from beginning to end, were recorded by the prophet Isaiah, son of Amon. When Uzziah died, he was buried with his ancestors. His grave was a nearby burial field belonging to the kings. For the people said, hey, he had leprosy, and his son Jotham became the next king. See, this man, they put him into position too early. They put him in a position without really examining him, without even talking to the Lord. So as he began to get older and stronger, he became prideful, full of arrogance. I see some preachers say the same way. You know, they started out maybe with their family, the wife and the children, a couple of children, and they keep going and going, you know. And then all of a sudden the church, the Spirit of God come and start resting upon the house, and people start liking what they're hearing and seeing, and the church begin to expand or enlarge. And no sooner as the church begin to enlarge, the pastors become prideful, forgetting who they are and whose they are. Uzziah's position is a attribute to God's help. It leads him to pride. He actually unfaithfully on the Hebrew word used here, me'al. Incense offering on the altar. Because he is not a priest, Uzziah is not qualified to burn incense in the temple. Saul was rejected as king for a similar offense. In 1 Samuel. Let's go over here. We're coming back. 1 Samuel. And let's see, chapter 13. Sometimes we want to step up. We want to push our chest up. No, did God call you to do this? Did God instruct you to do this? Now, if the man of God called you and said, well, look, today we are having Holy Communion, and I would like you to assist us. The man of God might say, back in the office, while he's talking to you, say, you are deacon or you are elder, but that's not your position. He says to you, I want you to have hope with the Holy Communion today or praying at the altar. But while you're in the office, the pastor says, let's pray. And the other ministers in the office will pray over you, praying over everybody that they're going into that position to represent God. No, you're qualified because the pastor has released you to go in that, to operate in that realm. Understand? But you just don't go, oh, pastor, I'm going. No, you don't do that. You don't do that. You could lose your life. In 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verses 9. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offering. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made the end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came and Saul went out to meet him. But he smite he might that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore said I, the Philistine will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplications unto the Lord. I force myself, therefore, and offer a burnt offering. No, that was not his position. See? He is king. He's not the priest. He's not the prophet. So he goes in and take a sacrifice, a burnt offering before the Lord. Hear what he said. Listen. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have establish thy kingdom upon Israel forever. Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. See, if you were obedient, if you stay obedient and do exactly what the Lord says, the Lord will raise you up. The Lord would establish you. The Lord would make you known to people. But we want to step ahead of God and do our own thing. And what happened is that we are heading for fall. We're going to fall off the edge of the cliff. We have become too puffed up, too proud in ourselves, full of arrogance, believing that we are all that. I had some people here like that. They believe they're all that in a bag of fish and a Pepsi Cola. Nobody can talk anything to them. They get enraged. Samuel says to Saul, hallelujah, no, but now thy kingdom shall be not continue. The Lord have sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord have commanded him to be captain or king over his people. Because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. And Samuel arose and gat him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. And Saul and Jonathan his son, and the people that were present with them, abode in Gibeah of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped in Michmash, and the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned onto the way that leadeth to Ophrah, onto the land of Sheol, and another company turned the way of Beth Horon, and another company turned to the way of the border that looketh to the valley of Zebian, towards the wilderness. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords and spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistine to sharpen every man his shear and his cutter and his axe and his mattocks. Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the cutter and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goods. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, was there found. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Mishmash. Now listen, people were massacred. They were massacred. They lose a lot of men was killed because of Saul's foolishness. You understand? Because of his pride. Wait on the Lord. That's what David said. Wait on the Lord. I said, wait. Now, here, Uzziah the priest, stood up. Uzziah, the king. He said the priest stood up to Uzziah, the king, to protect the sanctuary of the temple. See, you got to understand this, that we, that our leaders, has a position. We have a position and we have an assignment. The purpose is that we must protect the sheep. One bishop told me that the sheep is foolish. He said, "Why you talk to the pastor? Why you talk to the sheep all the time? Sheep is foolish." You know what? I told him the sheep belongs to God. And I got to talk to him. He's full of pride. Full of pride. The man can preach, can sing. Oh, my Lord, he can sing. But full of pride. No, you got to know how far to go. I mean, there's some things that the sheep does that the pastor don't do. Don't involve him. Because the sheep are still growing. That's why they need a shepherd to lead them. But you can't start doing the same thing that the sheep is doing. You know? You gotta watch the sheep and help the sheep to grow. The term occurs only one other place in Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 11, the censer. It refers to a pan with a handle used for removing ashes from an altar or burning incense over hot coals. Now, Uzziah, the king, he got leprosy because of his arrogance. The Hebrew word used here, teros, can indicate a variety of skin diseases. In Leviticus chapter 13, verse 1 to 59, people afflicted with such skin diseases were considered unclean and were forced to live in isolation. This is what happened to King Uzziah. He had to live in isolation. I believe that Moses' sister, Miriam, when she had leprosy, she had to live, yes, thank you, Holy Spirit. She had to live outside the camp. And she got that because of her arrogance, speaking against the man of God, the prophet of God, her own brother Moses, when he got married to the Ethiopian woman. You know, you got to be careful. Better be careful. Some of the things, we better be careful what we are saying. Watch your mouth, because the enemy is so smart that he will make us and say some things that we shouldn't say. Hallelujah. To avoid defiling the temple, priests rush Uzziah out of the temple. You see, because now he has leprosy, he became unclean. When people are dipping and diving in sin, listen to me, and you know, we know for a fact, it's not what somebody just telling us, we know for sure that they start to dip in sin, we as the preachers got to put them out. You don't let them just stay in the congregation when you know they full-blown sin. It's not like they just dip-dab here, slip and slide right here for one time. But you know that they're going to the whole house every weekend. You know they're going to the bar, and to the strip bar, even watching them half-naked women, and some of them going to the homosexual bars, the men dancing that half-naked just like the women. And you know this. Now you can't have them keep coming back, coming from the strip club back to go to the house. No, they need to be outside and get counseling. Even if you got to counsel them on the outside, but you can't bring them in the sanctuary. Guess what? Because they defile the sanctuary. That spirit defiled the sanctuary. Now people can't even listen to you preach because they're all murmuring of this person that is in full-blown sin. Do you hear what I'm saying? You are not turning them away from God, but you're putting them in a place where they can get counseling. You can counsel them outside of God's house. Oh, my God. They put the king out. The priest put him out because he had leprosy all over him, all over his face. You can't miss it. See, God marked him. That's the first place. And you can picture that, the leprosy coming all down his shoulder, all down his neck. But God marked him in his face that he couldn't even put down his robes, the arms of the robe. The sleeves, thank you, Holy Spirit. He couldn't even pull down the sleeves of the robe to hide his hand. If it was on his hand, he could have do that on his arm, on his forehead. That's where God put him, mark him for his arrogance, for his pride. God marked him on his forehead so everybody in the sanctuary could see he had leprosy. And the priest had to rush him out of the sanctuary. Leprous. He had this leprosy until the day that he died. God never healed him. The priest was not able to take him or go to him and wash him with hyssop and make him clean. Uzziah's skin was diseased, had serious gratification. He was forced to live in isolation, which prevented him from worshiping at the temple and hindered his ability to govern. Because of this, his son Jotham governed in his place. The reminder of the words. A common epithet for disease king. 1 Kings 11 verse 41 and 1 Kings chapter 14 verse 19. The prophet, Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, wrote, this does not refer to the canonical book of Isaiah, which Isaiah might have been active during Uzziah's reign. His full ministry did not begin until the year Uzziah's death. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, King Uzziah slept, died with his ancestors, died and was buried with his ancestors. Let us go over to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. We are talking today about the pride goes before the fall. Pride goes before the fall or before destruction, according to the book of Proverbs. Hallelujah. It's very hard sometimes. People don't realize how difficult it is. When you see people that they're so puffed up, or you can't say anything to them. You know, you can't say anything to them. You talk to them all. Who you think you are? They tell you straight up because they believe that they have a right. You understand? They believe that they have a right. They got it all together. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let me see where we at here in this text. Glory, 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 glory. Meaning. Hallelujah. Jeremiah, let's get up here quickly. Quick. Jeremiah, that's the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Jeremiah, where we going? Jeremiah chapter 23, I'd say. 23. That's the name of the Lord Jesus. Woo! Books is running all over the place. All over the place. Jeremiah 23, and let's start at verse 16. Pride go before destruction. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. Pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. Here Jeremiah says in 23 and 16 says, this is what the Lord of heaven's army says to his people out of the New Living Translation. Speaks this way. This is what the Lord of heaven's army says to his people. Do not listen to these prophets when they prophesy to you, filling you with futile or worthless or empty hopes. They are making up everything they say. They do not speak for the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise my word, don't worry. The Lord says you will have peace. Can you imagine, just imagine for a moment that somebody's going through a whole lot of mess, dealing with a whole lot of mess, have confrontations on the left, on the right, front and back, and this man that says he's a man, a woman that says she's a woman of God, and come and telling them people, you will have peace. You will experience peace. The Lord says you will have peace. They have not even consulted God. But there becomes God's mouthpiece. They are liars, God says, and the truth is not in them. This is what God says. They keep saying to those who despise my word, don't worry, the Lord says you will have peace. And to those who stubbornly follow their own desires, they say no harm will come your way. People are living like hell, and folk is telling them no harm will come to them. You got to be truthful. Uzziah went into the house. He was a king. He was watching over God's people. Stepped into a realm that was only for the priests. God then said to him, then how the priest said, well, it's okay. You burn incense on the altar of God, it's all right. No, God showed up and did to Uzziah what you wouldn't believe God would do. God struck him. Struck him instantly with leprosy on his forehead, in his face. He couldn't bow and say, hide and cover it up. No. It was there for the whole world. Every congregational member was given this. We want to go tell people we know that they are living a promiscuous lifestyle. It's okay. It's all right. You're going to be all right. We don't tell them nothing about Not us, but folk don't tell them that. You need to repent. You need to go back before the Lord. You need to repent for your sin. And if possible, what Peter told Simon when Simon wanted to buy the Holy Ghost, he told him that his money perished with him. He told him to go back and talk to God and maybe pray eventually that God might forgive you. Peter told him first thing, your money perished with you. Your heart is not right. A lot of people, their heart is not right with the kingdom work. Their desire is just to get money. That's what they desire. It's more than money with this thing, man. The souls are at stake right now. The Bible says hell has enlarged in its mouth. Why? Because people have become promiscuous from the house of the living God. Preachers selling cocaine and marijuana and all that stuff inside God's house. I saw a post somebody sent and I put on my page yesterday. Another pastor. And it says Kirk Franklin is putting on a concert. Big concert for the Lord. That's what it said. Concert for the Lord. And at the same concert, they're selling alcohol and marijuana at the concert. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is supposed to be a holy gathering. The concert's at a church building. And they're selling marijuana and alcohol. It's on YouTube. These people is making a mockery of the gospel. A mockery. He says here, this is what the prophet Jeremiah says. Have any of these prophets been in the Lord's presence to hear what he is really saying? That's verse 18 of Jeremiah 23 and the NLT, New Living Translation. I was reading the Maccabees Bible last night, and I was so excited about that. And I pulled up some of these books, some of those books of the lost books of the Bible. You know, I still focus on the King James, but I was getting some deep stuff coming from these books. Here he says, God asks a question. Have any of these prophets, these false prophets that claim that they're full of wisdom, the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, have any of these prophets been in the Lord's presence to hear what he is really saying? Have even one of them cared enough to listen? Look, the Lord's anger bursts out like a storm, a whirlwind that swirls down on the heads of the wicked. I have a thing to say to you. A thought that just came to me. That when the whirlwind of the Lord begins to move, it's not moving on the person out there first. It's moving on the false prophet first. The false prophet is going to get hit with the wrath of God first. Why? Because they became deceivers, misleading God's people, feeding them nasty, filthy food, not the clean food, not giving them the clean water that God has for them. The anger of the Lord will not diminish until it has finished all he has planned in the days to come. You will understand all this very clearly because God will not hide anything from you. You will see it. I have not sent these prophets, yet they run around claiming to speak for me. I have given them no message, yet they go on prophesying. Hear what God is saying. These men are puffed up, men and women. And the Bible said men, it means men and women. Don't think that the women that preachers, they can be, they're excluded from this stuff. It's in there, in there. But why? Because she came out of me. God took her out of me. And you have women preachers, women prophets and prophetess out there that are proper lying. They're not spending time with God to hear what God wants, what God needs done. They go to computer classes, and they will listen to the geek telling them everything what to do. But they will not go to the office in the realm of holiness to hear what God needs done in this earth realm. They you know, don't spend no time. They want word. They want the anointing. They want the glory of God, the power of God to be in their ministry, but won't spend no time, any time, you know, that's it. They don't spend any time meditating on God, fasting and praying, spending time with God, turning down the plate, waiting on God. You know, since last night, every Friday night, evening, I start a fast every Friday. Well, in the week, I pass in during the day. But it's a focus fast because it's coming to my Sabbath. When it comes, and I see all these stuff in the house to eat. I got up this morning, I just had me some herb tea, some dandelion tea. And I see all these nice muffins and all this stuff. And you know, my flesh starts saying, well, you can have a muffin. What I had to do, I had to put that stuff and tell it, shut up, because it started talking to me. You know, I could almost smell the muffins through the paper. You understand? That's how this is, how strong this thing is. To take you off your path. But I said, no, I can't do that. Because this time I give to God every weekend. I give all my time every week. Friday night, Sabbath weekend, I give to God every weekend. Even if I don't get on Blog Talk with it, I'm going to use my Bible. I'll spend time with him. Because I want to hear, I want to know what God wants done. I just don't want to get and run my mouth. I want to hear what God wants done. Hallelujah. So he said, if they had stood before me and listened to me, they would have spoken my words. And they would have turned my people from their evil ways and deeds. See, when God gives you word, he's not going to give you no watered down word. He's not going to give you no Kool-Aid. He's not going to give you no lemonade. Hallelujah. When he gives you word, it's going to be sharp. It's going to be, oh my God, quicker than a two-edged sword. I'm told this word, when he gives you word, people are going to get cut. You can tell by their face going to change when they hear you teaching and preaching. But who she thinks she is? Who he thinks he is? He too loud. He too loud. She too loud. She too loud. All this stuff going to come because the devil wants them to leave. If they just stand, guess what? The word will cut them. And on their way driving back home from the service, God will heal them. Because he cut you first and heal you. Don't heal him and cut you. He cut you first and then heal you. But you need to get where he got the sickle, where he got the sword. That's not playing with your sword. So a lot of these leaders today is playing with the people's soul. Playing with the soul. Talking about you can have this and have that. All you got to do is believe you can have. What do I need? All this stuff is going to hell. I want you to tell me how to live because I'm constantly messing up. Tell me how to live. Tell me how to walk right before God. Tell me how to be honest. Tell me how to be holy. That's what I want, because I don't know. My flesh is leading me to go to the liquor store. My flesh is leading me to go down to the happy hour. My flesh is leading me to fornicate, to commit adultery, to steal, to lie. My flesh wants me to do the thing that satisfy my flesh. I need you to tell me how I can overcome this desire. I don't want you to tell me everything is all right, because I know everything is not all right. When I'm not in your presence, all of these thoughts come up in my head. My flesh is tormenting me. I want you to tell me how to overcome my flesh, how to put it into subjection. Tell me. It's in the word. Show me. I don't know yet. Tell me. Proper saying, proper land, and God says, proper sign falsely in his name. You say, I'm encouraging the people. If you want to encourage them, tell them how he delivered you from your sinful nasty, slimy way that you were living. I wasn't always the way I am. My lifestyle was slimy. I live a covetous, promiscuous lifestyle. Tell the people the truth. Because you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. And you no longer love your life unto death. Tell them. Here's a man. I can't believe that. Sister Mary used to live like that. Brother Cabbage used to live like that. Man, look at him. Look at her. You see, because they can't refute that. When you are telling and sharing your testimony of the lifestyle that God brought you, they can't refute that because you know they know it's the truth. They can tell. They can see what tenacity you're speaking with, what assurance, what boldness you're speaking with. When Peter and John, and they got many stripes for the gospel. They didn't complain. The Bible said when they left the presence of the council, they were skipping. They were skipping, running and squawking and skipping. It's like they had skip ropes. They were excited that they were persecuted, that they were whipped, chastised for the kingdom. We don't want to go through no chastisement. We don't want to face no rebuke for nothing. Because why? Talk to me anyway. Who he thinks he is. Do you hear what I'm saying? Let me give you. Yeah. He said, can anyone hide from me in a secret place? Let's go back up a little further. Verse 23. Am I a God who is only close at hand, says the Lord? No, I am far away at the same time. God is here and there at the same time. I'm talking to you today in the United States of America. Guess what he is? He's in Canada. He's in the continent of Africa. He's in India. He's in the Caribbean. He's in all over Europe. He's watching the war right now. He's watching over Israel right now as they confront Hamas and Hezbollah in Iran, in Syria, Egypt, Lebanon. Do you hear what I'm saying? God is everywhere at the same time. He says, can anyone hide from me in a secret place? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and earth, says the Lord? Go somewhere else. Go to Numbers chapter 15. Oh, my God, I tell you. If you know in your heart today, I'm putting this out there because God gave this to me last night. And this morning, I just look up a couple other things. If you know that you got a spirit of pride, you're arrogant, nobody can tell you nothing because you're so puffed up, you know it all, man, go back before God. Don't tell me, guys, I don't have no heaven or hell to put anyone in. Matter of fact, if I don't try to stay abreast, I might bust that place wide open. I'm just going to tell the truth. I got to stay abreast. I got to stay with God. I got to stay in his face. I'm not trying to get his hand. I go stay in his face because when I look at his face, I can see he tell me what you're not doing right, David. This is what you got to do. See, Lord, I said, Lord, what's going on, Lord? He said, this is what you're doing wrong. I said, Lord, what must I do? This is what you got to do. He'll tell you if you seek him early. Early means any time of the day you seek it early. God is not on the time clock. Any time of the day you seek, God is early. If you seek him with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, God would instruct you how to go. Numbers chapter 15. Let's start at verse 22. Let's start at verse 22. This is good word. Good word. Good word. But suppose you unintentionally fail to carry out all these commands that the Lord has given you through Moses. And suppose your descendants in the future fail to do everything the Lord has commanded through Moses. If the mistake was made unintentionally and the community was unaware of it, the whole community must present a young bullock or bull for a burnt offering as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. It must be offered along with its prescribed grain offering and liquid offering and with one male goat for a sin offering. See, God looks at the heart. This is what I put in scripture in this morning, Lord, give to me. Now he showed me this. He said what happened is that some folk are doing some things that happen with some folk that is not intentional. But some folk is deliberately going and sinning. They live with a mindset, I am going tonight and pick up a prostitute. I am going down my sister cabbage because if I go down there, I know she and I going to have a sexual encounter. Do you hear what I'm saying? Intentional sin. God says not only you have to bring an offering to the altar, but you have to totally repent. Thank God that Jesus paid the price for all of our sins. But because that he has paid the price for past, present, and future, we don't need to go and intentionally commit sin. We need to get into the truth and get the truth in us so that the truth will cut us like a knife and convict us, hindering us from sinning. This is what the Word of God does. Thank you, Lord. He says, with the priest, verse 25. No, let's go back. Yes. Verse 25. With it, the priest will purify the whole community of Israel, making them right with the Lord. And they will be forgiven. For it was an unintentional sin, and they have corrected it with their offering to the Lord. The special gift and the sin offering, the special gift and the sin offering. Now, one of the things I want you to know here that, and we shared it earlier in the message, when somebody is contaminated with sin, we don't mean that they got paint on, but it's just like paint. Sin covering them from head to toe. It eventually rubs off in the sanctuary on the congregants. This is why God at this time, before Jesus came to the earth and was nailed on the cross, was pierced and crowned and whipped and all this stuff, they had to take an offering into the sanctuary, to the priest. They couldn't go in the sanctuary because they were unclean, but they had to send an offering to the priest. Why? Because the priest had now to get everything right, get these people right before they contaminate the whole sanctuary, the whole congregation, the whole neighborhood. Thank God that Jesus did it one time on the cross. And wherever we are, we can call upon him in repentance. Call up and say, Lord, I forgive me of my sin because he hears you. Call because you really want to be forgiven and you really want to turn away from your sin. Don't ask for forgiveness and go back and do the same thing. Playing Russian roulette with your soul. He said the whole community of Israel will be forgiven, including the foreigners living among you, for all the people were involved in the sin. You see, when one person sins in the church, everybody sins. You say, well, hold that, Pastor. Because sin is a, do you hear me? Sin is a spirit that moves from breast to breast. Number one, what happened is that the person will already commit sin. But now you find out that they commit sin, guess what you do? Now you started murmuring all through the church. You tell Sister Cabbage. Sister Cabbage says Brother Rabbit. Brother Rabbit says Land King down the street. And it's going all through the church, so now the church is full with this stuff. They're not even hearing what the pastor's saying, the pastor's saying, the bishop's saying. They started talking about this sin that was committed by a member. That's why we have to go. We got to coach that person back to the cross, to the foot of the cross. We don't have to bring no offering now. Get them back to the foot of the cross where the blood is still dripping. It never lost its first estate. The blood is still dripping with power. The priest will offer it to purify the guilty person before the Lord. And that person will be forgiven. These same instructions apply both to native-born Israelites and to the foreigners or those that are sojourning among us. Psalm 10. Go to Psalm 10. Let me give some quick verses here and we get rid of here. Psalm 10, verse 2. The wicked arrogantly hunts down the poor. Let them be caught in their evil plan for others, the psalmist says. The wicked, hallelujah, those that are filled with contentions in their heart. They have a contentious spirit. They want to hurt people. They want to do all types of stuff that are offensive to people, especially to the poor. He said the wicked arrogantly hunts down the poor. Let them be caught in the evil plan for others. Listen what they do. Listen what they do. For they brag about their evil desires. They praise their greedy and curse the Lord. The wicked are too proud to seek God. They seem to think that God is dead. Do you hear that? Let's read that again. Verse 4. The wicked are too proud for the pride, too puffed up to seek God. They seem to think that God is dead. You look at the young people. I was so upset yesterday. My granddaughter was going to Salem with her friend. Now, she's 22 years old now. She's a young woman, very beautiful. And she got a young fellow that she's dating now. And he wants to marry to her. So I told him, hurry up and get married so I can do the marriage. I can do the marriage sermon for you. He is going to be an engineer. You know, he does all this highway thing. They did some stuff in some other country where they were doing all this stuff on the highway. Well, they were going to Salem. Because they want to go to this place in Massachusetts where they have the warlocks and witches. And I said, I was sort of disturbing my spirit. But you know, with disturbance, you have to be careful. When the spirit becomes disturbed, you have to be careful because what might come out your mouth may push you deeper into that foolishness. Dressing in all black and putting on black lipstick and all this kind of foolishness. You know what I'm saying? My granddaughter knows the word of God. But you got to still watch over her spirit. And I got to say, I got to explain to her about this stuff. Because this devil is so smart. This demon that is coming after us is so smart, so cunning. I was studying the book of the first and second book of Adam and Eve. These are some of the lost books of the Bible. And I was looking at how Cain killed Abel. And, you know, from that concept of the books of Adam and Eve, man, it just takes you to another place. How vicious the devil is. I mean, I still bring my kings in, like I said. But just to look from a different outlook, take a different focus or a different, see it from a different perspective. Man, it just messed me up. Satan is no joke, people. He's not something to play with. He wants our souls. Understand me. This is why he'll keep you smoking cocaine and smoking reefer, drinking some type of mind-altering substance. He'll have you doing something that don't please God. And it makes you feel good. But after you feel good for 5 minutes or half an hour, sadness comes. And Satan and his agents will stand on the sideline and laugh at you, laugh at us. He ain't no joke to play with. I'm telling the truth. You might feel good for one moment, but then the next step, death is lying at the door. It's lying at the door. Death is waiting there for your soul. You understand? That's why you got to tell that old slewfoot, got to go, shut up. You got to tell him, leave. You don't belong here. Because he's standing there to get your soul, to get you into a place doing some stuff that don't glorify God. So now you're on the pathway to hell right now. You become disobedient. Listen to what it says. Let's go to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Proverbs 11. And listen to what it says. Listen to what it says. Pride leads to disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Oh, my God. I like this in the NLT. Yeah, he says that pride leads to disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. See, you're always ready to learn. You say, I don't know it all. I don't have it all. I'm always listening. When I hear, I should go when the pastor, Apostle Stewart had the church line in the nighttime. We should come on two or three times a week. Yeah, I'd go on there with him. And Pastor George would teach about dispensation. No, I never taught about the dispensation. I never focused on it. But the way that God had given, that's her ministry. Okay, nobody can teach that like her. I don't care who they are. And it took me from where I was in my ministry to another dimension. Because I heard something that I have not heard anybody taught before. And I could look in the Bible and see exactly what she was saying. I could have said, well, you know, I'm an apostle. I work for the Lord, and God has taken me this place and that place. I don't need all that stuff. What that would be? That would be pride. That would be having an arrogant spirit, a prideful spirit, like I'm more than her, I'm more than this boy. No! All of us can learn from each other. Hallelujah. The only boy don't have to learn from you is God, because he knows all. He's the one that created all things for his glory. Hallelujah. For your good, but for his glory. We can learn. He said, pride leads to disgrace, Proverbs 11 and 2. This is the first scripture that I learned when I came into the kingdom, Proverbs 11 and 1. And let me look at it in the King James, because I know in the King James, so I can read it to you in King James. I know it by heart, but let me show you here in the King James 11:1. This is the very first scripture I learned. One of the very first scriptures I learned. And it says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And it said, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. He says, the Lord detests the use of dishonest heels. But he delights. God wants us to do everything righteous. He wants us to do things with a mindset of holiness. Hallelujah. Because we can't hold this thing in our hearts. This thing has to be seen. People must see the light shining. They must see the light of God shining through us. And they will glorify God, the Father. But if we have deceit in our heart, the light is not going to shine. Deceit will hide the light. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. We are almost there. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. 13. All who fear the Lord, this is the New Living Translation, will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride and arrogance, corruption and perverse speech. Hear what he says. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride and arrogance, corruption and perverse speech. Watch how you talk. See, if you fear the Lord, which means that you reverence him, you're not scared. He's not a monster. He's a loving God. If you reverence God, you're going to hate evil. You have honor, you have respect for God, you're going to hate evil. He says, so therefore, I hate pride and arrogance. People who are lifted up in their own to have Sandra Shell. And there's a lot of people like that. I watched a preacher came in and had so much swag. You would think that he was on the Merv Griffin show. A lot of swag. What you need all that stuff for? Walking like you better than other people. Maybe you'll walk. But I could tell that he was putting on something. He was, you know, how he was moving his arms and stuff. Like he was all that. Man, we are just but a handful of dust, a vapor in the air. That's all we are. He tells you straight up here, common sense and success belongs to me. Insight and strength are mine. Because of me, kings reign and rulers make just decrees. Rulers lead with my help, and nobles make righteous judgment. I love all who love me, hear God say. Those who search will surely find me. Hear what God is saying. I have riches and honor as well as enduring wealth and justice. My gifts are better than gold, even the purest gold. My wages better than sterling silver. I walk in righteousness, in paths of justice. Those who love me inherit wealth. I will fill their treasuries. The Lord formed me from the beginning, before he created anything else. Do you hear that? I was appointed in ages past, at the very first, before the earth began. I was born before the oceans were created, before the springs bubbled forth their waters, before the mountains were formed, before the hills I was born, before he had made the earth and fields, he first, and the first handful of soil. I was there when he established the heavens. He drew the horizon on the oceans. I was there when he set the clouds above, when he established springs deep in the earth. I was there when he set the limits of the seas so they would not spread beyond their boundaries, and when he marked off the earth foundation. God is the architect. He is the architect. Listen, let's give you another one. Go to Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah chapter 25. I hope you're getting something out of this today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isaiah 25. And verse 1. O Lord, I will honor and praise your name, for you are my God. You do such wonderful things. You planned them long ago, and now you have accomplished them. You turn mighty cities into heaps of ruins. Cities with strong walls are turned to rubble. Beautiful palaces in distant lands disappear and will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong nations will declare your glory. Ruthless nations will fear you. Now, I want you to let you know that when you commit to God, God will bless you, not only with the earthly riches, but he will bless us with the heavenly riches. Sometimes we just got to wait. Hallelujah. We have to wait because we don't want to wait. This is where we get in so much trouble. We become full of pride and we become arrogant. Arrogance. Filled with arrogance. Understand me. Because we don't want to wait on God. God says, son, I'm going to bless you. Daughter, I am going to give you your heart's desire. No, we can't wait. Because I heard the Lord says he's going to give me my heart's desire. But it seems like it's taking so long. I am going to go, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Then what happens is we get sick. We pick up something that we didn't have before. You understand what I'm saying? We pick up something that we didn't have before. Now we are on the verge of death. Because they don't have no cure for it. They're going to give you some medication that's just going to sustain life for a little bit. But you're on the verge of death. Why? Because you couldn't wait on the Lord. You put yourself in a difficult situation because you're pride. You don't want to be humble. He said he would exalt those that humble. If you humble before him, he'll exalt you in due season. This is what he said. No. Let's go to Isaiah 28. Lord Jesus, let's get this thing up here. Verse 1. What sorrows await the proud city of Samaria, the glorious crown of the drunks of Israel. It sits at the head of a futile valley, but its glorious beauty will fade like a flower. It is the pride of a people brought down by wine. See, people that are full of pride, they find themselves doing things that usually will bring them to nothing. Prideful people. They get themselves involved in stuff that normally a person with wisdom will not get himself involved in. They don't have time for the Lord. Most prideful people don't have time for the Lord. Because the Lord requires humility, humbleness, meekness, compassion, love, kindness. He requires these attributes. They don't have time for that. Most people that are full of pride and they're arrogant don't have no compassion, don't have any compassion. They're not kind. They're not loving. They're not forgiving. They don't believe that they have to repent for anything because they're full of pride. They put their hope and trust in vanity, things that are worthless, like their cars, their house, their jewelry, their money. They put their hope in those things. But a person that is humble is focusing on the kingdom. They're focusing on the time when the Savior will come back to receive them as his bride. They're focused on that. They're not living for today, but they're living for tomorrow. Tomorrow is when he returns. They're living for the future. Here in Jeremiah chapter 13, let's go up in Jeremiah chapter 13. This is going to be the last scripture that I'm going to give you all, so if you got to go, you got to go. But this is it that we're going to do. The Lord says something we're going to talk about. Glory tomorrow, next week. Lord say the same. We want to talk next week if the Lord say the same. If we get here, and the Lord keep us in the land of the living, we are going to talk about the persecution of the people of God. It's raging. It's raging. It is getting greater and greater and greater. We're going to talk about it next week. But here in Jeremiah chapter 13, let's see what we got. I didn't hit the scripture. Jeremiah 13. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. And let's start at where we at. Where we at? We at Jeremiah page 1. Glory to God. Let's start at verse 9. This is what the Lord says. This shows how I will rot away the pride of Judah and Jerusalem. You'll notice that a lot of times when the Lord is speaking about this arrogance and this prideful spirit, this self-centered people, that he goes straight to his people. He doesn't talk about the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Hittites, the Moabites. He don't talk about none of these people. He talks about Judah and Jerusalem. He talks about Israel, his people.
No wonder his judgment comes to the house of the Lord first. He goes to his people. Why? Because he wants us to see what he's looking for. He's looking for holiness, righteousness. He's looking for peace in us, joy. The joy of the Lord. He's looking for us to see himself in us. Every time I look at my son, every time I talk to him and I hear him say, he says, Dad, I love you so much. I'm so proud of you. So I love you more. You know, because I'm hearing him changing. I'm seeing God changing him, that he has a mindset now to live and build a future for his family. He's over in Richmond, Virginia. I moved from Arlington, Virginia, which was a bad place for him, in Washington, D.C., going all the way up to Richmond. Working in the same field, installing our computers and televisions and all these sound systems. That's his job. But I could see. I make sure he gets the word every day. I send it to him. You hear this? I send the word to him every day. Every post that I send to other people, I send to him. I send to my daughters, my granddaughter. I send the same word to my family that I send to people. Because see, you got to start with your family first. He said, look, this is what the Lord says. This shows how I will rot away the pride of Judah and Jerusalem. These wicked people refuse to listen to me. They stubbornly follow their own desires and worship other gods. Therefore, they will become like the lion's cloth. Good for nothing. See, this is the lungs of what you wrap. This is wrap this thing around you like a diaper. You know, the loin's cloth. He said it's good for nothing. As a loin's cloth clings to a man's waist, so I created Judah and Israel to cling to me, says the Lord. They were to be my people, my pride and glory, and honor to my name. But they would not listen to me. I'm telling you today, I'm saying to you today that God wants us, you and I, to listen to him. Pay attention to what he's saying through the word. Pick up the word and say, Lord, I want to hear you. Speak to me through the word. Let the spirit of the letter come to me. Because the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. So I want the spirit of the letter to come to me. I want God to show me what's in this word. I want this word to be illuminated before my very eyes that I might get it in my soul. God said I wouldn't listen to him. His people. A lot of people today dibbing and dabbing. They only want to be in the church. Say, I want to become a pastor. I want to become a bishop. I want to become an evangelist, a teacher. A prophet. I want to be in the fivefold ministry, because if I become part of fivefold ministry, people will see me and I will make money. I'll be able to preach there and make money. It's not about money, people. I was just telling somebody on the phone. I said, look, I just got some money in the mail. And I ended up, some I had to send and some other money I got was mine for me. But I sent it so people can get food in Africa. We just sent a lot of Bibles to Detroit, Michigan, for an evangelist over there who's going into the parks and ministering to the drug addicts in the park. And he didn't send all the Bibles, so I called the people this morning. They said, oh, no, we had to send two. We had to send the Bibles in two packages. So I said that at the second package should get it today. And the evangelist says, oh, Pastor, thank you so much. He said, I just ministered to two people, and I gave them each one of my Bible. This is what ministry is about, people. It's not about money. If I can help you reach souls, this is what I'm supposed to do. I can't complain that I should be younger. But if I was younger, that I could stay in the field and make money like I used to make, man, I would do so much for people. But God has given me enough right now. He said, just use what you have right now, son. Don't worry about what you don't have. Use. He says here in his word, we're going to finish right now. We're going to finish here. He said, so tell them, verse 12, Isaiah 13 and 12. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. May all your jars be filled with wine. And they will reply, of course, jars are made to be filled with wine. Then tell them, no, this is not what the Lord means. I will fill everyone in this land with drunkenness, from the king sitting on David's throne to the priests and the prophets, right down to the common people of Jerusalem. And I will smash them against each other, even parents against children, says the Lord. I will not let my pity and mercy or compassion keep me from destroying them. Do you hear what the Lord says? When pride comes, it brings God to anger. He said, listen and pay attention and do not be arrogant. Don't be prideful. For the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God. For it is too late. Before it is too late, acknowledge him before he brings darkness upon you, causing you to stumble and fall on the darkening mountains. For then, when you look for light, you will find only terrible darkness and gloom. He says, and if you still refuse to listen, I will weep alone because of your pride. My eyes will overflow with tears because the Lord's flock will be led away into exile. See, when the man of God, the woman of God don't teach sound doctrine, listen, you cause God's people to be led astray. That becomes easy target for the adversary. Sound doctrine makes sound people, change people, change people. If we preach sound doctrine, people are going to be convicted. When they're going out there and want to get shack up and shot down, slip and dip, the word of God will come before them like a light in the, on the path. Listen to what he's saying. This is talking about a warning against pride. We're talking about pride goes before the fall. He says, and if you still refuse to listen, I will weep alone because of your pride. My eyes will overflow with tears because the Lord's flock will be led away into exile, captivity. Say to the king and to his mother, come down from your throne. Come down from your high place and sit in the dust. For your glorious crowns will soon be snatched from your head. Do you hear what God's saying? Listen to what God is saying, people. This is so powerful. I only had one verse in this chapter, but God just said, look, no, go on from verse 9 all the way, Jeremiah chapter 13, read it all the way down. Listen to what he says. He says, the towns of the Negev will close their gates, and no one will be able to open them. Remember, God closed doors that no one can open, and he opened doors that no one can close. He said, the people of Judah will be taken away as captives and will be carried into exile. Open up your eyes and see the armies marching down from the north. Where is your flock? Your beautiful flock. And he gave you to care for. We are quick to say this is my people, that is my people. But are we caring for them? Are we telling them the truth or are we giving them a half truth? He said, what will you say when the Lord takes the allies you have cultivated and appointed them as your rulers? Pangs of anguish will grip you like those of a woman in labor. See, the people that we put our trust in, instead of putting your trust in God, God will remove them. Because God wants you to trust him. He wants us to depend on him. I had so many people that came on Blog Talk Radio I was trusting and depending on. But God said, no, I don't want you to trust in nobody. I want you to trust in me. I love everybody that comes to Blog Talk Radio. I really do. I care for you all from the center of my heart. But my trust is in God, my Savior, the one who went to Calvary, the one who was pierced, nailed, and crowned for my sins, the one who blood and water came on his side. That's where my trust is, not in men. Listen to what God says. He said, I will move them. You may ask, listen, what will you say when the Lord takes the allies you have cultivated and appoints them as your rulers? Pangs of anguish will grip you. Pains, that's what the pangs mean. Like those of a woman in birth, childbirth, labor. You may ask yourself, why is all this happening to me? It is because of your many sins. That is why you have been stripped and raped by invading armies. Jesus have mercy. An Ethiopian changed the color of his skin. Can a leopard take away its spots? Neither can you start doing good, for you have always done evil. See, we will never be able to do good until we surrender, repent, and give our hearts to God. God is the only one that can change the sinner's heart. Doesn't matter how bad it is, if you go to him in repentance, he can change our hearts. He can give us a clean heart. He can give us the right spirit. He can put us on the right track. He can take us off a crooked street and put us on straight street. I'm talking about a God that I serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, I will scatter you like chaff. I will blow away by the desert winds. This is your allotment, the portion I have assigned to you, says the Lord. For you have forgotten me, putting your trust in false gods. Who are you trusting today? Who are you trusting today? He said, I myself will strip you and expose you to shame. I have seen your adultery and lust, and your disgusting idol worship, out in the fields and on the hills. What sorrow awaits you, Jerusalem? How long before you are pure? How long before you allow me to change you? How long before you allow me to clean you up? This is what Lord is, God is crying out to us today. Father, we thank you and we praise you, O God, for this day. Lord, we ask that you continue to work in us and work through us, God. Father, continue to whip us and chastise us in the areas of our lives that we need to be chastised, Lord. Father, we have gotten to the place that we realize that we have not arrived. We ask you to continue to carry us. Oh, God, when we have fallen, God, we ask you to lift us up. Keep us, oh, God, humble in the spirit. Keep us with a loving heart, a kind heart, a compassionate heart. Keep us, oh, God, with a mindset of repentance, oh, God, that our hearts will be filled with pity for those that are weak, oh, God. We pray, God, Father God, today that your mercy and your grace will overtake us, O God. Father, we pray today that you would look beyond our faults and see our needs. Father, we are just but an empty vessel, waiting each day to be filled by you. We ask you, God, to take us into that place. Take us into that place, Jesus. Take us into that place of holiness, Jesus. Jesus, we are tired of looking in from the outside. We ask you, Father, to draw us in. Draw us into that place, O God, where we can hear your voice even clearer. Lord, we repent from the center, the depths of our hearts today. And we come this morning, O God, asking your forgiveness, we ask your mercy. not just for ourselves, but for the world, Lord. Lord, there's so much going on right now. You said that the nation will come after Israel from four corners, four directions. It's already set right now. Father, we are close to them when we began. But Lord, there's still some things in us that need to go. So we ask you this morning to remove them. Give us a clear understanding of all your desire for us. Jesus, my heart is heavy. Even right now for those that don't know you. So, Father, I come this morning asking, oh God, that you would look from your throne in glory and look at the time. Father, there's some out there that they're just going and going and going and going, oh God. They are doing sin, intentionally sinning, God, when they know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I ask you, Father God, to have mercy. Release that unmerited favor to us this morning, God. And let it penetrate our hearts, Jesus. Our hearts are open. Touch us, O God, and draw us close, God, for we desire to be close. We are seeking nothing else but your closeness, God. Lord, our desire is for you to love us even more and give us what we need, O God, to do what you have called us to do. It is you, Jesus. It is you that we seek. It is you that we long for. You are the merciful Savior, the Lamb of the tribe of Judah, the early morning star. We lift up your name this morning, O God, and we praise you, we glorify you, we exalt you. God, we ask you to touch marriages today. Touch the children. Touch husbands and cause the fire in the husbands to ignite again, that they begin to love their wives and like when they first met their wives. And cause wives, oh God, to be on fire for their husbands, regardless of how old they are. Lord, you have rejuvenated Abraham and Sarah. Lord, rejuvenate your church this morning. Touch us this morning with an unending love, Jesus. And draw us closer. Make us feel you, Lord. Allow us to feel you, touch you. Oh, Jesus, my desire this morning, oh God, is to get close. I just want to be close to Lord. That when my number's called up, Lord, I'll know with a surety that I'm going to be with you. I don't know the ups or the downs, Lord. I just know that you are the one who brought me out of that place that I was in, that it was so dark and so destructive, Lord, but you brought me out. So today, Lord, I ask you, God, to clean my heart. If there's anything in there that is not like you, God, clean my heart. I'll make it right with you. Father, I just need to be close. This is all I'm asking this morning. I need to be closer, God. I need to be closer. I need you to draw me closer, Lord. I need you to draw me closer. I just want to be close. I just want to get close to Jesus. That's all I need. All hell is breaking loose in the earth right now. Nobody don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Close. That I can smell your breath. I can feel your breath, Lord. It doesn't matter what has happened, what has gone on. I know I'll be with you. Father, save those that are out there that is struggling with drugs, Lord. Take away the craving. Those that are struggling with lust, take away the lust, Lord. Those that are kleptomaniacs that like to steal, God. Lord, lighten their hands, oh God. Oh, Father, we ask today.
oh God, that you would reach out and touch those that are lost. Father, draw the wayward son, the wayward daughter back home. We ask you, Father God, to have mercy. Have mercy on Israel. Have mercy on Hamas, Hezbollah, on Syria, on Lebanon, on Iraq and Iran, Afghanistan and Pakistan. God, draw the Muslim man, the Muslim woman, boy, girl, even those that young men and women that are indoctrinated to kill, to maim. God, draw them to you. Begin to show up in the Muslim camps. Show up in the Israel camps, oh God, those that don't know Jesus. They're still waiting for the Messiah. You've been here, and you're coming back. Show up, Lord Jesus, and reveal yourself to the lost. To those that reject you, show up to them, Lord, and to all of us, Lord, because I want to see more. And let us see you, Lord. Quicken our hearts, oh God, to repent. Quicken our hearts to walk holy, to live holy. Quicken us, oh God, in the things of God. Give us the desire to serve you with clean hands, oh God. God, allow the angels to take the coals from the altar of God and put upon our lips to purify our tongues, oh God. We pray today in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would heal and deliver Sister Holmes in New York City. Sent me a message last night that she was having all of these pains in her feet. Godly woman, love the Lord, cannot talk, cannot speak unless she calls Jesus, the name of Jesus. Don't care where she is, she talks about Jesus. Lord, I ask you today that you will intervene in the inflammation that's in her joints, Lord God, and that you would flush it out through the urine. And God, heal her body. Lord, open her spiritual eyes even the more that she would see you. And draw her closer. Touch her husband. Touch her children, oh God. Everything that concerns her, Lord, we ask you today to withdraw it, perfect it, heal it, deliver it, restore it. Father, we pray for Pastor Joyce as she stands breast to breast, to feet, hands to hand, face to face with her husband. We ask you, God, to strengthen her, empower her. God, let the anointing that destroy yokes rest upon her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. Cause her vessel to overflow with the glory of God. We pray, Father God, for the very house that you have given them to look over the sheep that you have placed under their care. Let it be filled with the spirit and the glory of God. Let the atmosphere be so saturated that it would be hard for someone to remain still. We ask you to touch the apostle, my brother and my friend. God, we ask you, God, to God order his steps continually in your word. God, protect him when he's out and when he's heading back in. Keep him safe and secure. Let no surprises, no mishaps happen in their travels, oh God. We ask that every restaurant that they go into, Lord, let them be the light that brings in brightness in that restaurant. Lord, we ask that you cover their children and grandchildren, everything that concerns them, Lord. Blanket them with a hedge of protection. Pray for Brother Deacon Fraser, for his mother. He just lost his father. We ask, oh God, that you continue to strengthen him. Give him a strong desire to stand on the post that you have placed him. God, you have placed a mantle of prayer upon his life, oh God. Let him not succumb to the stupidity that's surrounding him. Matter of fact, I ask you to remove it and let him stand up and begin to pray, that he open his mouth upon to your voice, God, that people would hear what he is doing for the kingdom. We ask, oh God, that you give him travel and mercy as he go from his house to his job and from his job home. Lord, grant him the desire of his heart, oh God, that he know that no one else can do it for him but you. Give him the wife that he desires. Every man needs a wife, unless he's an Enoch. Give him the wife that he desires. And Father, we pray for Brother Minister Jones, his wife, his mother, his sister, everything that concerned him, Lord. Usually out with a big truck driving and delivering. Wife is on her job. People are doing all types of stuff. They're going into the buildings and they're killing people. They're shooting people through people's cars and throwing stones off the bridges. Lord, it will not be his portion. We ask for covering over him and his wife. Lord, ignite the fire in their marriage that once burned bright and clear. Cause the fire to continue to burn bright and clear. That they love each other over and over and over and over. Divorce will not be their portion. Father, we pray for the prophetess. She has a desire to be married. To be married again. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to let her husband. Father, she's crying out for a godly man to find her because she's hidden in you. Let the godly man be able to come to the door that you have opened, that he will see her sitting with you and take her to be his own. We pray today, Lord Jesus, for Apostle Washington and Bishop Washington. We ask that you heal their bodies, heal their mind, heal their spirit. Lord, that you strengthen and enlighten their ministry. Father, that you do for them what no one else can do, God. Draw them closer with you. God, remove everything that hinders them from hearing the truth, from living the truth. God, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that they ask or think, according to the power that lives in them. We pray for Brother Mark, his wife and children. Father, I pray today that anything that he does that does not give you glory, that you will remove it out of his life. Lord, anything that changes his mood that offends the kingdom, we ask you, God, to remove. He has a desire, Lord, to be closer. Lord, you hear his heart crying out. Answer his call. I pray that you would answer his call even right now, God, and draw him closer. Give him spiritual eyes to see kingdom business, spiritual ears to hear kingdom words. Lord, excuse me, I pray for his wife and for the children. Lord, protect them. Keep them as the apple of your eye. Let no hurt, harm, or danger befall them. God, go through the crevices of their home and begin to clean out the house like you cleaned the temple when the money changers was in the house. Clean out everything in the house, in every crack, every crevice, every closet. Oh, God, from the living room to the bathroom, Lord God. Clean out the house, oh God. Not by power, not by might, but by your spirit, Lord. And Father, we be careful to give you glory and honor. Lord, we pray today for all of my family. We pray for healing, deliverance, and restoration. Pray for salvation for those that are not saved, God. And Father, we pray today for sinners that they may come and ask, what must I do to be saved? And that they would repent and give their life to Jesus. Peter said, let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We know there is neither salvation no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. We know that Jesus is the only way. He is the truth, and he is the life. That no one can come to the Father except through him. We know this. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Scripture says that whosoever believe on him will not be shamed. You just have to call upon Jesus. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody, you and I, we all have. And truth be told, the devil is still trying to pluck on our flesh to make us go back into sin. Because he knows there's no good thing in our flesh. He can't touch our spirit man, our soul man, but he can mess with the flesh. That's why we got to keep the flesh underneath the blood. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take the moment today to just surrender. Surrender your life to him by repenting. Tell the Lord Jesus, like David says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cry out to him in repentance. And repentance just means that you are turning away from sin and you're turning to Christ, to righteousness, to holiness. You're turning your life over to him. Give it completely to him. Ask God to take control. If you ask him to take control, guess what? He will take control. You got to ask. Glory to God. Denounce Satan. Say, Lord Jesus, today I heard the word and I'm moved by your spirit of your word. That's my heart. And I'm convinced in my heart that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I recognize that I cannot go to heaven without you. So today, Lord Jesus, I'm denouncing Satan, the one who had control over my life, and his agents, all of his angels, the agents that serve him, and this world system. Jesus, I come to you now knowing that you are the one who were crucified at Calvary, who gave your life, paid the debt that I owed that I could not pay. I believe that you were nailed, pierced, and crowned for my sins, that you were buried in a borrowed tomb, and that God the Father raised you up on the third day. I believe this in my heart. I am confessing with my mouth before man and before God. All over the world, men can hear. I am confessing right now that I need you. And I want to invite you now, Jesus. I am inviting you now to come into my heart. Take up your rightful position as Lord, as Savior, as soon coming King in my life, in my heart. Jesus, I accept you now as my Lord, my Savior, my soon coming King. Wash me in that blood, your blood, that never lost its first estate. It's still powerful. It's still anointing. It's still healing. Restore me to the rightful position where my foreparents, Adam and Eve, was when they were in the garden before their sin. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to order my steps. Lead me and guide me into all truth. Fill me with the Holy Ghost, according to Acts 2 and 38. If you just said that all common prayer you believe, I'm here and I'm weeping. Because when the presence comes, I can't control myself. It's too powerful. too awesome for me. I want you to get a Bible. Who of you in computer land? Get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. Or you can start. You know, I love the Old Testament. I love all of old and new, but I love the Old Testament because it just brings me back to the foundation. Study your word. Study the word of God. And invite the Holy Spirit when you begin to study so you can get a gospel understanding of this word, what God expects of you, of us. And begin to walk it. Don't just study the word. Walk it. Start walking the word. I like to say become the word. Be the word. And then I want you to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize in Jesus' name and tell them that you received the gift of salvation, that you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. Don't be argumentative if they say they don't baptize in Jesus' name. Understand? Just tell the pastor if they say they don't baptize in Jesus' name, they baptize Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost according to Matthew chapter 28 and 19. Say, okay, that's all right. I'll get back in touch with you. Leave that door, understand? Don't burn that bridge that you may have to walk back over. Because you might get an act of crazy. Well, my pastor told me I got to, you know how people do. Because, you know, you still got your flesh. And the flesh sometimes want to act ugly. I said, my pastor told me I should get baptized in Jesus' name alone. I don't want to be baptized if I don't go like that. Just tell the pastor, be kind, be good, be, you know, loving. Say, look, I'll get back in touch with you. And when I get my guest that I want to be at, present at my baptism call. This is the most important time of your life when you're having a new birth, because that's what your salvation and baptism is. It's a new birth. You're becoming a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old things are going to be left behind. They're being left behind. All things are becoming new. So you're going down that water we call it a liquid pool when you get to baptize after being going through our baptismal classes. Because if the pastor's right, they're not just going to baptize you. They're going to take you some classes. You're going to have to go through. Usually it takes about 2 weeks or so. 2 weeks. You go a couple of evenings a week, and they teach you about, sometimes even longer, but about 2 weeks. And you are minimum of 2 weeks. And you're going to learn. They're going to teach you all about the reason why you are being baptized. You're not just going down the water because you want to take a bath. If that's the case, you can go in your shower. You know, you're going down the water because this is what God requires. This is your completion. It's like you're putting everything together now. You're going down the water, putting it together. Hallelujah. So invite your friends, your family, co-workers, and get baptized in Jesus' name. And you're going on that pool we call a liquid grave. You're leaving everything. You're telling the people that are there, your guests, that you have given your life to Christ Jesus. That's what you're declaring to them. I have given my life to Christ Jesus. I no longer belongs to myself. That's what your baptism is saying. I don't belong to myself, but I belong to Christ Jesus. And you go down that water we call it the liquid grave. You're leaving the old man behind. Coming up out the water in the new man. And when you come up out that water, we recommend that you find a church preaching and teaching about the kingdom of God, preaching about sin, telling you how to live a holy life. That's what we want you to do. We want you to live a holy life. Okay, so we thank God for you. We bless God for those that receive the gift of salvation today. We hope that many more people will believe and receive when they hear this message today. We were talking about pride goes before the fall. You know, people are puffed up, but after a while that thing just goes, leave. They find themselves, you know, people are so puffed up, and also once they get arrested and stuff, man, they become so humble. They become very humble, you know, very humble. After they have to go before the judge, the magistrate, all that pride goes. You watch all these millionaires that did all their bad stuff, and then they have to go to court. All these Hollywood actors and actresses that they did all that crooked stuff they did to get their kids into very exorbitant colleges. They go and get them in them colleges, you know, and they paid all that money because they could afford their kids and had to go through all the real process like other people. You know, they get them just paid and get the kids in there, and then they had to be pulled down to the lower part. You know, they had many of them in jail. We got a few right here in Massachusetts that in jail, you know, because they want to run the system. You know, no, let's do it the way God said do it, in the right way. We thank God for you all, and we pray that you have a blessed day. And those that get saved, got saved, receive salvation, we pray God continue to empower you to walk right before God. Well, the line is open. I'm going to stop my mouth right there. Line's praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We're going to pray and close out. We have a lot of people on the line. I know the message was good. I know it because it touched me right down my heart. So nobody responded, so we're going to close and get out of here. I got to do some things and get stuff ready for tomorrow morning. The Lord say the same for Holy Communion in the building. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for those that you allowed to come on the line today and heard this word, this strong word that you have given us. We ask you, God, to continue to bless us to hear, bless us to see, bless us to receive, O God. We ask, O God, that you bless us in the city, bless us in the field. Bless us when we come, O God, and bless us when we go. Continue to make us the head, tail, set us above and not beneath, O God. Lord, make us the lenders and not the borrowers. Holy Father, we ask, O God, as we leave this line, but never your presence, that your glory and mercy will be with us, O God. O God, as the apple of your eye, we ask, Father God, bless us in the city, Lord. God, we pray for the funds to come, O God, that we can, O God, be able to help more people, O God. So many people are suffering, so many people in need. And when you help one person, other people here, they want you to help them, you know, God. But we ask, O God, that you release these funds as Tina sent me all these messages. But, Lord, I just ask that you let the right message come, that the time is ready to go to the banks, call the banks and make an appointment, O God. We pray, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, O God, that you empower us, O God, to do your will, O God. Father, now that may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you speak today in somebody's ear gate that would make all the difference in their lives. It may stop someone from committing suicide. It may stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father that's in heaven. That's what I mean is that men must see the attributes. You see the attributes of Jesus Christ in your life. What are you doing? What are you saying? Your lifestyle, all lifestyle must glorify the Lord. Understand? That's what it's all about. We must, our life must glorify God. I can't say that I'm a born again believer and I'm a minister of the gospel or I'm a part of the body of Christ, but I'm acting like a gangster. You know, no. Your lifestyle must glorify God. This is what Matthew 5:16 says. And people see that, they begin to say, man, that's truly a man of God right there. That's truly a woman of God, you know. Truly a woman of God. You know, not that you want to be puffed up, pat on your back, but people can see that you are walking this thing out. You're not making it. It's not a joke to you. You're serious. So I thank God for you all. I want you all to have a blessed day, blessed weekend, And I pray that wherever your fellowship in tomorrow, and those of us that are preaching, and Apostle Stewart and Pastor Joyce and other preachers that's on the line, Minister Jones and Prophetess Cheryl, wherever you are, make sure that you give him everything that you can. Pour it out on him. Wherever you fellowship tomorrow, I don't care where you fellowship. If you're at your home church, give him all. If you're visiting, give him all. Give him all of you. Hallelujah. Like the song we played this morning, you know, he is your all in all. And all that you have came from him. So you give him all that you have. That's all you got to do. Give him all that you have. God bless you. I love you so much. You know, I can talk about Jesus all day long. I can talk to glorify him all day long because he's done so much for me. You know, that's why I'm weeping so much. I was weeping so much, you know, because he's done so much for me. And I love praising him. God bless you all. I love you so much, but God loves you more. Hope to see you tomorrow, Monday, if the Lord say the same. And we all are here in the land of the living. Come on by and help us. Help us give God glory, because that's what we're called to do. Help us give him the glory, okay? God bless you all. Bye-bye.